Okay, we're up to Perek Yud Aleph, Pasek Mem Aleph. Yesterday we learned about how the first Crusades. Pasek Mem discussed with Ace Kates at the end of days. Yisnagach. Let's review Pasek Mem very quickly. With Ace Kates at the end of days, which can refer simply to, according to many of the Mefarshim, refers to Melchemes Goig Umagoig. And what it says here parallels what it says in Yeshayah, what it says in Yecheskel, and there are other references to Melchemes Goig Umagoig, and the language is similar. Being that the language is similar, that's what gives many of the Mefarshim the license to interpret these words in reference to Melchemes Goig Umagoig. But we learned yesterday it's also possibly a reference, if we continue the timeline of history, it really fits very well into the theme of what happened for a good a few hundred years at least, in a great intensity, and then in lighter intensity, Ad Hayom Hazeh, the clash between the Christians and the Muslims. So the Ace Kates, towards the end of days, Yisnagach Imo Melech Nanegev, Yisto'er Olav Melech HaTzafon. It's very interesting that the Melech HaNegev, which we're interpreting to refer to the Muslims, their attack is described as Yisnagach, to gore, as an ox has horns, whereas the Yisto'er Olav Melech HaTzafon, their counterattack, or their attack, I don't know if they call counterattack, but the Yisto'er Olav Melech HaTzafon is described as a storm. Now, I don't know the significance. I'm just pointing out that if we...
Well, they're desert dwellers, so it's like a desert storm.
But no, that's the Melech HaNegev.
That's the wrong way.
So, obviously, there has to be some deeper meaning in referring to a thing like an animal. The attack of the Muslims is described as the attack of an ox, an animal, whereas a storm, it's not a human being, it's nature. So what is the significance? There must be some, if you think into it, you can probably come up with some of your own insights into this approach, assuming, of course, that we're dealing with this event in history, the time of the Crusades. The Yisto'er Olav Melech HaTzafon Berechav Uvarashim, with chariots and horsemen, Uvonil Shrabos, and with great ships. Obviously, this is definitely true as far as the Crusades are concerned, that the one that had the chariots and the horsemen and the ships had more cavalry was the Christians. The Muslims were more a little more primitive in their approach to attacking and conquering the region. And the Christians and the king of Tzafon will come throughout the lands, all of the lands of the Middle East. The Shataf Yavar will flow. Shataf means a stream of water, will flow through the land like water, v'ovar, and pass through the land. Uva, what will be part of the consequences of their crusade? Pasuk Mem Aleph, Perik Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Aleph, uva bi Eretz Hatzvi. They will enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's really where all of the doubts, where the battles took place. V'rabos yikoshelu, many will stumble, many will die in these battles. I guess that includes many of the Christians, many of the Muslims, and certainly, I mean, there wasn't such a great yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, but there's no question about it that the Jewish people suffered greatly, and that's seemingly why all of this being presented here in Daniel. He's not telling us what's going to happen in North Korea. He's telling us what's happening about the Christians and the Muslims, because it affects, it relates to Klal Yisrael. It relates to Eretz Hatzvi, which we know is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. The Rabos Yikoshelu, many will stumble. The Eile Yimoltu Miyodo. However, there will be a select group of nations will escape the wrath of the Romans, the Melech Tzafon. Who are these? Three different nations. Edom, Umoav, Voracious B'nai Ammon, not all of Ammon, part of Ammon. Ammon is generally assumed to be the region of Jordan. So part of B'nai Ammon will escape the onslaught of the Romans. How does that translate into history? I do not know, but this is what it says in the pasuk. If you wonder, this refers to Melchemes Goig Umagoig. It has not yet happened, so then we certainly have no problem in interpreting this pasuk.
Long gone, and
so it means the land, the biblical
So the
biblical territory of Edom, Moab, and Rachis, Bnei Ammon. Is that really true as far as the Crusades are concerned? I do not know. But
very significant either.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know. But that's what it says. So these will escape from their hands, Edom, Moab, Rachis, Bnei Ammon. Let's just see if there's any Mitzvahs, Pasuk, Memalef, the Mitzvahs, just a few words. Beretz HaTzvi, He Eretz Yisrael, V'rabos, Arotzos, Rabos, many lands, Yikoshelu, will stumble, V'yovdu Miponov, and will be destroyed before the king of the north. Who will be the exception? Edom, Haim, Hayoshvim, Bahar, Seir. Bereshis, Rotzoloimar, Mivchar, Orehem, a select few of the cities of Ammon will escape the onslaught of the king of the north, Rome. Pasuk Yud Mem Beis. Pasuk Mem Beis, the Yishlach Yado Ba'arotzos, the Eretz Mitzrayim, the king of the north will extend his hand, his control, his authority in the lands, Ba'arotzos, among all of the lands in this region. The Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Sihiyel Lifleta, even the strong, mighty Egypt will not escape. Egypt will fall to the hands of Melech Tzafon. Pasuk Membeis in the Mitzudas David, V'yishlach Yado Lahakos Ulahabed, to smite and destroy Ba'arotzos, Rotzolomar, Ba'arotzos, Rabos, in many lands, Velosia Lefleta, Rotzolomar, Av Sheris Madlo Yishar Bo, V'akol Yovad. There will be no remnant. Egypt will be completely obliterated at this time through the hands of Melech Tzafon. Pasuk Mem Gimel, Umoshal, the Melech Tzafon will rule b'michmane hazahav. Michmane means a kesh. They're storehouses. Well, different ways to pronounce this. Both ways are correct. Cash and kesh. I know it's a computer term, so I learned that long ago. There are two ways. Either word is okay. B'michmane hazahav, the chesef, and they will rule over their storage houses of gold and silver, uvuchol chamudos Mitzrayim, all of the delights of Mitzrayim. And then it says three more words, v'lubim v'chushim b'mitz odav. Now these are two nations. I'm not sure we know who they are. The Kushim we know is Ethiopia. Yeah. Who are the Lubim?
Lubim could be Libya.
Libya? Okay. So the Lubim and the Chushim, it says Chushinach Chushiyim. There's no, it doesn't say Yud under the Yud, but the Chushim b'mitz adav, which can mean will follow in his footsteps afterwards. First, the king of the Tzafon will conquer Egypt, and then and will take control of their treasure houses of gold and silver and all items of joy, of delight.
So those are the countries adjacent to Egypt.
Okay, and then afterwards he will come and conquer the Lubim and the Chushim. B'mitzadav will follow later. That will come in the footsteps of the Melech Tzafon. Others translate B'mitzadav means that he will have control. Does not necessarily mean it means it's a lower form of authority. In other words, when it comes to Egypt, it says, look at the different words. It's the Yishlach Yado. One expression is to send forth their hand. That represents one form of authority. Then it says in Pasuk Mem Gimel Umoshal, to rule. And here it concludes with the Mitz Adav, its feet will stand. I don't know the difference, but each expression has a different connotation, a different degree of authority. You can control by holding on to something. You can control with the word moshal, which may mean you don't actually have any physical control, but you have enormous influence. You make a speech and people are terrorized. And then there's an expression, b'mitzadav, I stand here. I don't open up my mouth, I don't move my hand, but I have a presence, I have an embassy, my feet stand here, whatever that means. So there are three different expressions of describing the control that Melech Tzafon will have over the region, Shlichas Yad, Moshal, in their wealth, and they will stand. Kipasik Mendal. Now this is another very strange pasik. Ushemuos Yivahaluhu. And rumors, things that are echoes that travel throughout the world, Yiva Haluhu, will terrorize. It's a very frightening expression. Who will terrorize through the entire world? Let's right away see the Mitzudos. Pasuk Mem Dalet. Ushemuo, Sloshen of Shema, to listen. Yiyan Nishma Lo, it will be heard to him, Lo, concerning him, concerning the Melech Tzafon, Shebo Olov Milchama, Mi Mizrach, that an enemy has come from the east. So who is this enemy from the east? This refers back to the previous parakim. I forgot which parak ches, where we had a vision where Daniel showed another vision of a sa'ir, and the sa'ir had Keren Hazi'ira, and originally there were four horns, and then from the fourth horn, one of the horns, a small horn came forth from one of the horns, Shehi Mim Mamlechas Yishmael. So here the Mitzudos is learning the Shitaso, is Yishmael, that here Rome will now get word, he will hear word that the enemy is coming to attack from the east. And who is this? This is Yishmael. But okay, we see, I'm mixing and matching. I was interpreting this pasuk, referring to the much later point in the history of the Crusades. Let's review. We're going back according to the Mitzudas and according to Rashi, that learns that we're going backwards in time. This description, the pasuk Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, and Gimel, refers to Titos. Titos, the Romans conquered the Syrian Greeks. That's he's being consistent. We finished history. History basically ends according to the Mitzudos with the Churban Bayit Sheni, and then this last series of psukim go back and they recap. By the way, let's discuss in greater detail what will Rome accomplish, what will Titus accomplish at this point in time. Basically, Rome will conquer the entire nation of Yavon. So the Melech Tzafon is Rome, and the Melech Negev is the Greeks. Are the Greeks, which are really the Egyptian Greeks, because the Egyptian Greeks outlast the Syrian Greeks, and they dominate Mitzrayim, and everything here is very simple, referring to this period of time where Rome comes to world power. Then, finally, Pasuk Mem Dalet, we're going to, even according to the Mitzvot, we're going to acknowledge there will be a later period of time in history of Yishmael. So here is the point in time of the Crusades, or that whole later period, the clash between Islam and Christianity at a later point in history, according to the Mitzudos, Ushmos Yivahalu, Rome will be terrorized by a report that Yishmael is making trouble. Rome conquered Yavon, and now Rome dominates the world for a significant period of time, and now Rome has to deal with their new enemy, their new opponent, namely Yishmael. Who is Yishmael? Mi Mizrach. Because here, for the very first time in this chapter, do we make mention of an enemy in the east. Until now, we're always focusing on the north and the south. And we have so many different opinions. Who is the king of the north? Who is the king of the south? It first starts out, the king of the north is the Syrian Greeks. The south is the Egyptian Greeks. And then we switch. The north becomes Rome. And the south remains the Egyptian Greeks. And then according to other Mepharshim, we have no. Rome, I told you, Rome represent, the north is Rome. And the south is Yishmael. But the Mitzudos has been consistent with his interpretation of all of these psukim, that everything is referring, until this point in time, a clash between Greece and Rome. Now, finally, towards the end, we're going to refer to what Rome will have to deal with at the end of days. Rome will deal with Edom, will deal with Yishmael, and it will be terrorized. Yivahaluhu will be frightened by what he hears about Mimizrach Umitzafon, from the enemy that is coming from the east and also from the north, I guess even more north than Rome, referring to, in this context, according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos, the Yishmaelim. And that's what was alluded to back in the previous parakim. One more time, it was the Mizrach Pasim Memdal. Yeh Nishmael Shabbat Allah Melchama Mizrach Vuhu Keren Hazira, the small horn that which came out of the head of the goat. Shehi Mamleches Yishmael Heamor Lumala V'gam Yeh Nishmalosh. Also hear report Shabbat Allah Melchama Mipas Safon, from the north. It's not clear who the north is. Who is more north than Rome? V'hashmuo sahem yivahalu also, these reports will terrorize also them, referring to themselves, Rome, v'yotso likrasam b'chema gedola, and they will meet them, will meet the enemy in the north, and meet the enemy in the east, which is Yishmael, according to this interpretation, l'hashmit, to destroy, yes, ho'akum ho'hem, to destroy these Gentiles, as if Rome was not a Gentile, but to have a world war, yeah.
Two questions.
Yes.
According to this opinion that it's Yishmael is represented,
okay.
First, how are they the north?
I don't know. How are they? No, that's no. He does not say
he said
that.
The east?
It says the east.
Okay.
According to the Mitsudos, the east refers to Yishmael. How are they the east? Yeah.
So then, if it's Yishmael, Yishmael doesn't really exist as an organized entity until, let's say, the Crusades, or
so maybe that's what it's referring to.
It cannot refer to the earlier period.
Well, Turkish is the north also.
So maybe Turkey and east. Why east can be referred to from the point of not really. It's west.
Old maps were not the way we see them today.
Uh-huh.
Even in the up to about 1930, if you look at Egypt on the map, it was about five times the size of what Egypt is today. It encompassed all of Ethiopia, half of Sudan, and a little bit to the west also. That was Egypt on the map. There was no Ethiopia.
Okay.
The maps changed. The Egypt used to run the entire length of the Nile, which was 3,300 miles.
Wow. Okay, I really don't know. I can just read the words here. According to the Mitsudos, this pasuk here refers to. Okay, we have to just remember we were holding. We're following his interpretation of the entire parak. That's what gets difficult. You have to be consistent where you're holding in history. According to the Mitsudos, we've gone back. The world basically ends with the Churban Bayis Sheni,
right,
as far as the Mitsudos and Rashi are concerned. Everything else just comes to tie up the loose ends. What are the loose ends? We discuss in greater detail the conquest of Rome over Greece. Then we'll throw in a bone and we'll talk about, a little bit later in history, Yishmael and this nation in the north. The way the Mitsudos translates Mizrach is a reference to the Yishmael, because then the only thing that's critical to keep in mind is the east has never yet been mentioned. The north and the south have been mentioned numerous times, and they keep on changing who they are according to everyone's interpretation. They keep on changing back and forth. But here, for the first time, we have a new nation from the east. According to the Mitsudos, it's Yishmael, and then we have the Tzafon. But if we're dealing with if the center of this pasuk is the Melech Tzafon, and the Melech Tzafon is afraid of the Tzafon, it's not discussing itself. It's discussing another king in the north, which the Mitsudos does not identify.
But he's kind of forced, because of his shita, Yishmael, he's kind of forced to bring them in.
Correct.
Somewhere, it's like a forced fit.
Okay. So this is what's going to happen. This nation of Rome will be terrified from a report of from the Yishmaelim and from a nation in the north. And Rome, the Melech Tzafon, will go out to battle them with great anger, with great fury, lehashmid ulehacharim rabim, to destroy and to obliterate rabim, many. That's the Mitsudas, and according to the more modern commentators, this pasuk refers to events that have happened later in times, past the time of the Crusades, which might even refer to the 19th and 20th century. So, I mean, the real pasuk of the Holocaust, it will be the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, which will come to the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Aleph, which will come to one moment, but I don't know. But if we're following the approach that pasuk Mem are the Crusades, and then Aleph are also the time of the Crusades, then when we come to pasuk Mem Dalid, you have to find another time in history. I don't know exactly when, the 14th, 15th, 16th century, 18th century, somehow that is all included in the words Ushemu Osiyah V'Haluhu. Reports will terrify them. Who is them? Perhaps it means Eretz Yisrael. It means the Jewish people. Maybe the Malach is speaking to Daniel. He's telling him what's going to be the end of the days. The topic is, the focus of his vision is to tell what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. Ushmuos yivahaluhu. The Jewish people will be terrified from reports of what they hear is taking place in Mizrach, in the east. Umitzafon. V'yatza b'chemo gedolah. Who is coming forth? Maybe that these people, these nations, not that the Melech Tzafon is going against the east and the west, but in the north. Maybe it means that the people, the countries in the Mizrach and the Tzafon are coming against the Jewish people. But then what's going to happen? Pasuk Mem Hey, the Yita Ohole Apadno. They will plant their palatial tent. Ohole, these two words are a contradiction. A tent is not an apadno. His apadno, Lashon Ava, comes from the word a palace, apadna. They had this in the Daf Yomi 2 days
yes.
ago. Apadna,
like
apadna, then open a palace, a beautiful structure in a garden. And here it says they will plant a tent, which will serve as apadno, as their palace. A palace has a connotation of a permanent structure. An oel has a connotation of a temporary structure. But yet it says that the yita, and yita is to plant. You don't plant tents, and you don't plant structures. You build them. So these three words do not, under any translation, make sense. You're going to plant, the Yita, he will plant, a tent. You don't plant tents. And then the tent is described as a palace. You plant a tent. You put a seed in the ground. A Yita Aholo. Okay, so it's, even there it requires an explanation of what that means. It's a borrowed term. You put the pegs into the ground and you attach the ropes. But planting has a connotation of something which grows and develops. So you have to interpret that pasuk as well. Vayita oholo, he pitched his tent. What exactly does that mean? You don't exactly plant. So the same interpretation that you will use to interpret that pasuk, you'll have to use to explain the pasuk over here. Vayita oholo apadna. But these three words are a very unique combination of expressions. Bein Yamim Lahar Tzvi Kodesh, between the seas. Now, what seas are we dealing with? We're dealing with the Mediterranean Sea. We're dealing with what's the other sea? The Yarden. What are the two seas that we're dealing with? Maybe that's what it means, between the Mediterranean and the Yarden. Lahar Tzvi Lahar, opposite the Har, the Mount of Tzvi Kodesh. Now, here is something which is also unique, because until now, and almost everywhere in Tanakh, where there is a reference to Eretz Yisrael being described as the Eretz HaTzvi, it's never used together with the word Kodesh. We just had that in Pasuk Nem Aleph, Uva the Eretz HaTzvi, that this enemy will enter the land that is desirable, referring to Eretz Yisrael. And we have this in Sefer Yeshaya, and you have this all over the place. But never, this is extremely unique, to call Eretz Yisrael the Har Tzvi Kodesh, the mountain of the Tzvi, which is holy. And it's also unique that it's called the Har, because generally it's called the Eretz HaTzvi. It's not called the mountain of the Tzvi, which is holy. And here there's going to be planted some type of beautiful tent, beautiful palace, which can refer possibly to the Beis HaMikdash. If you want to interpret these psukim in reference to Milchamet Tzvi Gumagog, so in Pasuk, well, it's very difficult, because Milchamet Tzvi Gumagog is really going to come later on upon the next parak. But again, these things, it's not clear exactly what this means. If you want to learn this refers to the time of the Crusades and the time past the time of the Crusades. So what it can mean is that the enemy is going to steal Eretz Yisrael. Look at the Temple Mount. What do they have? They built it. They built their mosques, and they built there. So maybe that's what it means, that these enemies, Rome and Yishmael, will come and will attack. They will battle. There will be incredible wars that will take place throughout this period. And during that period of time, they will seize the land. They will occupy our land. And they will plant upon the holy land, the Har Tzvi Kodesh, all of these churches and structures which don't belong to them, which have no business being there. The Yita, they will plant Ohalei Apadno, their churches, their cathedrals, their palaces, Ben Yamim Lahar Tzvi Kodesh, between the seas, Lahar Tzvi Kodesh, right opposite the holy mountain of Eretz Yisrael, right opposite the place of Kedusha, which in this context means they will defile the sanctity of the land through their mosques and through their churches. I'm a Pasuk Memhei, Uva, and they will continue to do this, or they will enter Ad Kitso, until the very edge, until the very edge, Ve'ein Ozer Lo, and they will not receive any assistance. Now what does that mean? Let's see the Mitzudus Pasuk Memhei, Vayita, Yamid Ohle Armono, Bein Hayamim Lahar Eretz Yisrael Hachamudo Umikudeshes. We have to remember that the Mitzudus is learning in everything in his interpretation, going backwards in time much earlier. But these nations will plant a tent, which will serve as his palace between the seas, opposite or in the region of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Har Tzvi HaChamuda, which is desirable and which is sacred. Uvo Ad Kitso, what do these words mean? Shom Yovo, there he will go, Ad Sofo. Kitichle Malchuso, because that's where the Malchus will come to an end. They will be there, they will set up shop there, but after they set up shop, their Malchus will come to an end, until their end comes. Atichle Malchuso, until their Malchus ceases to exist, the Ein Miyazolo Lo Shuv Lehis Ulehis Chazek Od, and when their Malchus comes to an end, it will never be rebuilt. It will never exist. It will never be resurrected, because there will not be any nation in the world that will provide assistance after they collapse. There will not be any United States to bail them out. There's not going to be in any what?
It's the fall of Rome.
The fall, and will the Rome fall? Will fall when after it establishes itself in Eretz Yisrael. After this nation, these are very vague expressions. Whenever this nation, after they establish themselves in Eretz Yisrael, they will collapse. There will be no one there to help it pick itself up and re-establish itself. The Ein Ozer Lo. Okay, so this again, these are very vague. This refers to some point in history where the nations of the world are going to seize the Holy Land. Pasuk. Now, there's no reason for there to be a peric break. All the Farshim explain that we are continuing history, world history, and there's no need. Doesn't make any sense why all of a sudden now we're up to peric Yidav. In fact, the last three prakim are really one unit. But certainly, if you want to break up the last three prakim because it's too large, there's no. You should have waited until you come to pasuk dalet. Okay, so there's no excuse for breaking up the perek here. We're continuing this story of history. At that moment in time, after, let's assume according to our interpretation from the later Achronim, that we've already described the Crusades, we've described the period after the Crusades, then we described the last few hundred years with a constant battle to seize control over Eretz Yisrael between the Muslims and the Christians. And at some point in time they're going to even desecrate the Har HaBayis by establishing various churches and mosques and building up the entire area as a foreign religion. And then what's going to happen? So some want to learn that this refers to the Holocaust. This next pasuk refers to World War I, World War II. The greatest horrors of history will occur. Uvo Eis Hahi, at that time, when the Eretz Yisrael is under the authority of the Christians and the Muslims. Uvo Eis Hahi, Yamod Michoel Hasar HaGadol. Then in heaven there will be a very great Kitrug on Klal Yisrael. And Michoel, the great Tsar, the great advocate for Klal Yisrael, will stand. Ho'imed al b'nei amecha will stand. The Malach is telling Gavriel, is telling Daniel what's going to happen in the 20th century. Will stand there protecting al b'nei amecha, will serve as an advocate for your people, the people of your nation. The Hoyasa at that time, in that moment in time, at the end of days, Eis Tzara, will be a very great Eis Tzara. Asher lo nihiyasa, never existed such a thing. Holocaust, according to all historians, was unique in its scope, in its nature, and its intensity. Nihiyoskoy, from the time that Klal Yisrael existed as a nation, ado Eisahi. Uvo Eisahi, and at that time, there will be 6 million korbanos, and a very few will survive. And the only ones that will survive, Yimolet Amicha, the nation as a whole will survive. B'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, they will survive as a whole. But who will survive among Klal Yisrael? Kol hanimsa kosuv ba'sefer, only those select few that are written in Hashem's ledger. Why are these select few written in the ledger? No one knows. You always read stories about survivors of the Holocaust, and they write and they tell you that they should have died 100 times. They have no idea why they survived. They were in the same exact situation in Hashkocha Pratis. They were in this place at this time, and a soldier was here, and this happened, and that happened. And they have no idea why they were selected to survive. And they feel, if I'm here, I survived. Hashem picked me. He lifted me up by his hand. I have a purpose. I have to accomplish something. I have to rebuild. I have to do something for Klal Yisrael. And who are these select few? No one understands why, but the Gedolei Yisrael were killed. And we have simple people that also were killed. But we have some Gedolei Yisrael that survived. There were some very simple, ordinary people that also survived. No one knows. The only ones that will survive are those that Hashem selects and those that are written in His ledger. One more time, this entire pasuk. This pasuk refers, I think it's explicit that it's referring to the Holocaust. Especially for following the whole timeline of history. Crusades, the next couple of centuries, the dominance of the nations of the world over Eretz Yisrael with their magnificent churches and mosques, and now over Esaihi, it's the 20th century. Yeah.
Interesting. The phrasing is something that the like of which never happened in our history. Yet, in certain circles, there's a reluctance to consider the Holocaust.
Yeah.
As anything greater than, let's say, Tisha B'Av, right? You know, they don't like singling out.
Correct.
Holocaust.
Correct. They don't want to make a new day for the observance of the Holocaust. They want to be koilel the Holocaust in the observance of Tisha B'Av. And yet, here it says this is so significant. Okay, so that's another discussion. Absolutely. But we have to really emphasize this pasuk. It's a very large pasuk, and it's an amazing pasuk. And I mean, it's pretty explicit in what it's referring to. And when you look at the entire perek, pasuk aleph, yud base pasuk perek, yud base pasuk aleph. When you look at the entire timeline of history, you look at the entire perek in its entirety. It's like so clear. And only we are able to look at this because it's in hindsight. It's already after the fact. When all the Rishonim are looking and interpreting this pasuk, they could never imagine in the year 1096, what does this pasuk mean? I mean, what do the other pasukim mean? These are visions. So, let's see over here the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos, obviously, he wrote this interpretation way before the Holocaust. Let's just see exactly how he interprets the pasuk. Yamod Michal Levakesh Rachm Al Yisrael. At this point in time, Michal will stand to Levakesh Rachmim. Ha'emed Harog Yilamoy Tamid Lelamed Sage Sane Goria Al Yisrael. He's always our advocate. The Hoysa Os Tia Eis Sor Al Yisrael Shaloni Yos Aleim Yis Hoysa Lagoy. There will be a great tragedy. Ato Eisahi. Hachi Hakeren Hazeira Shimam Leches Yishmos. So he's going back to his interpretation, back from Perik Vav, referring to the small horn that will come out of this creature. Yotzar Lahem. So he learns that this interpretation refers to Yishmael. This eighth sari is what the Yishmaelim will be doing to the Jewish people. Again, this is interpretation. He's putting everything back in history, way, way back. He's going back almost even 1,000 years, possibly. Kemash Amar Ulek. They will swallow the holy ones. When they will cause them great pain, the Jewish people will survive. The rak, who will survive? Now this is very difficult to interpret. If you learn the Holocaust, it's not true. You interpret it, but he says rak hatzadikim v'yirei Hashem shnem abohem v'yichtov sefer zikar lufnev lira Hashem. It says in Malachi that only the tzaddikim will survive, but that really refers to Tchiyas HaMeisim there in that context in that pasuk. But if you learn the pasuk reference to the Holocaust and you don't go start interpreting who's a tzaddik, who's a rasha, doesn't mean that. It means very simply, kol hanimsa Kosuv ba sefer. It does not say pasuk aleph. Does not say which sefer. The sefer of tzaddikim, the sefer of rishon, the sefer of beinonim. Hashem has his reasons. Hashem has a ledger. Hashem has selected who he wants to survive this period of time. Those that are written in the sefer will survive. And the emphasis also is that the nation will survive. Uvo'es ha'hi yimolet amicha. Your nation, v'netzach Yisrael lo yishoker. Even though there are times where individuals do not merit to survive for reasons that are beyond us, but the one thing is guaranteed, Klal Yisrael as a whole will always provide. Now,
set of books.
What?
Easy way to interpret. He keeps his own set of books.
Hashem says, all right, it's not for us to understand. Pasuk Beis. Now, what does this mean? Then will come, so simply this means the ultimate geula will occur. Mashiach will come, there will be Tchias HaMesim. That's how many of them first should learn, but not all. I'll point out another interpretation one moment. But the rabbi, many miyishene admas ofar yokitsu, will wake up. Elu lechayei oilam, some will wake up for lechayei oilam, for everlasting life. The ela, and some lacharofos, for shame, to do shameful things. Lidiron olam. The word lidiron is a very unusual word. We had this in the last pasuk of Sefer Yeshaya. Lidiron. In fact, Rav Schwab, Rav Shimon Schwab, Tzach Levracha, that's how he defines the Holocaust. He calls it a deiron. Very unique perspective. We once spoke about this. All the different ways that the Holocaust has been described by various Rabbanim and Gedolim. Shoah, Churban Europe, Deiraon. Very interesting. And each one that you study where the source of the word has a whole different connotation of what, how to, a perspective in understanding the Holocaust. And here it describes that same word, Lidiron Olam. Lidiron means Dei Re'iyah. You can't even look at it. That when you look at it, roeh, when you look at something, it's so horrible, you say to yourself, die, enough. I have to turn aside. I can't look at this. It's disgusting. So there are people that will awake, will merit Tchias HaMesim, for what purpose? To suffer shame. To suffer shame and to be... Yeah. To suffer shame and to be something which their suffering will be so great that the average man will have to turn away and will not be able to look and witness such horrible suffering. Now, simply this pasuk refers to Tchias HaMesim. And there's much debate among the Mefarshim, all the Mefarshim going all the way back from before the Rishonim, all the way back to today, who will merit Tchias HaMesim? What is the purpose of Tchias HaMesim? So there are opinions that say that only two groups, it's very hard to understand what this means. There are only two groups, the article actually quotes this approach, there are two groups that will merit Tchias HaMesim. Only the Tzadikim Gemurim and the Rishonim Gemurim. Because the tzaddikim gemurim will merit chias hamesim to witness, to receive the ultimate reward. The rishoyim gemurim, we think that gehenim is as bad as it gets. There's worse gehenim on this world than the gehenim that we think of in the olam ha'emes. The gehenim in olam ha'emes would not suffice for them to receive the full measure of punishment that they deserve. The only way they can get their full punishment is to come back to this world and suffer here. Because you can suffer more in this world than you can suffer in Olam HaEmes. And reward, believe it or not, you can't get, the ultimate reward is in this world. The hana that one can get in Olam HaEmes, in Gan Eden, is less than the hana that one can get in this world. What about everyone in between the Beinonim? They can take care of Olam HaEmes. And the Olam HaEmes, the place for the neshamos of tainug, of enjoyment, and it's a place of gehenim, of suffering. For the average person, it's sufficient. Gan Eden is a place where they'll get the tainug that the neshama deserves, and gehenim is a place where they'll suffer the punishment that they deserve. But they don't have to come back to this world. In other words, this is a world only of extremes.
Bell curve.
It's a world of extremes. To get the ultimate reward, it can only be found in this world. To get the ultimate punishment, it can only be found in this world. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. There's going to be Tchiyas HaMeitzim for only two groups. This is the source of this approach. There are a whole collection of Mefarshim that take this approach in the idea of Tchiyas HaMeitzim. V'rabim, there will be many, Mi'yisheni Ad Mas Ofer, that will come back from sleeping in the earth. They will awake, will come back to this world. For what purpose? Yakitsu, they'll wake up. Elu, one group will be l'chaye oylam, everlasting life, the ultimate reward. Ve'ele, for the ultimate punishment, to suffer shame, l'cha rofois, and to be l'diron olam, to be a source of disgust forever. And everyone else who's in the middle is not coming back. Everyone else will get what they deserve in the Olam HaEmes. These are very hard things to grasp, to understand. Of course, that's a minority opinion. There are other opinions that everyone's coming back. Everyone's coming back. And here the pasuk just means a poetic expression from one extreme to the other extreme. But of course, it includes everyone in the middle. So everyone has to come back to this world. Okay. Take which interpretation you like. It's a very interesting idea. Now that all is based upon the approach that Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, is referring to Milchemes Goig u'Magoig and reference to Tchiyas HaMeitzim. By the way, one important thing I forgot to mention is that we're in the Sefer Yecheskel, where it does describe in great detail Milchemes Goig u'Magoig. No mistake about it. It's not describing the Holocaust, unless you want to learn the Holocaust, is Milchemes Goig u'Magoig, which I don't think we many want to take that approach. There it mentions the East and the North. That's why when we go back to the previous sukkah, when we mentioned here for the very first time, Pasuk Mem Daled, Ushmos Yivahaluhu Mimizrach u'Mitzafon. That's why many Mefarshim want to say, look, it says East and North. East and North are the code words, are the key words that are found in Sefer Yecheskel for Milchemes Goig u'Magoig. So, L'chora Pasuk Mem Daled is referring to what has not yet happened, Milchemes Goig u'Magoig. I told you, not necessarily. It can refer to, if we follow the timeline of history, referring to events that have happened before the Holocaust, because Pasuk Aleph refers to the Holocaust. But it's something to keep in mind. But if you do want to learn that this entire series of Sukkim do refer to Milchemes Goig u'Magoig, then obviously Pasuk Beis of Tchiyas HaMeitzim is something which follows after Milchemes Goig u'Magoig. However, if I'm not mistaken, Ibn Ezra says that this Pasuk Beis does not only mean Tchiyas HaMeitzim, it means the tshuva movements. It means a great reawakening of Jews who are dormant, who have been lost to us, who have gone off the derech, or Jews all over the world of Aseres HaShvatim. Many people at this point in time after the Holocaust are going to wake up and be Chayzer B'Shuva. And that is an incredible insight, because it's so true today. The Tshuva movement has exploded in the last 50 years all over the world, especially in Eretz Yisrael. It's a magnet for Baalei Tshuva, and in America, throughout the world, and even talking to outside South Africa, what's going on, and in Russia, what's going on. The Baalei Tshuva, it's incredible what's happening. That is all here being described. This is what Ibn Ezra says. Can you imagine if the things of Ibn Ezra? If not mistaken, one of the Rishonim says this, is that that's what the pasuk refers to, that the Yimos HaMashiach, after the Holocaust, the Rabim, there are going to be many people, Mi'yisheni Ad Mas Ofer, who are Jews, who are sleeping. They're asleep, they're not observant. Yokitsu, they're going to wake up.
What's Ad Mas Ofer?
It's an expression. They're sleeping on the ground. They're dead.
What pasuk is that you read?
On the ground, Ad Mas Ofer, spiritually dead. It's an expression. They're spiritually dead. They're asleep, just like when a person sleeps on the ground, he's dead. They are spiritually dead. And these people now, these Jews, will wake up. But unfortunately, not everyone wakes up to do the right thing. There are many groups of Jews who have done some very bizarre things. Who are some of our biggest enemies are Jews, we all know, who cause us great, great harm. And that's what it says. There's going to be an awakening. People at this point in time in history are going to be very active. Some are going to be very active in Chayzer B'Shuvah, and learning Torah, doing mitzvos. And there are going to be a lot of troublemakers. They're going to feel an awakening. The time of Mashiach is coming, and they don't understand what's happening, and it's going to cause them to make trouble. To make trouble, like we see in the world today. There are all these bizarre things that are going on, and people are doing strange things, which are kineged kol ha'tara kula. And who are leading the way? Unfortunately, look closely, you'll see that our Jews are leading the way. Eilo, eilo, lechaye, oilam, eilo, lecharafos, for shameful acts. The lediron olam, for things which will cause them to be a source of disgust forever and ever. The hamaskilim, pasagimel, and the wise. The word maskilim does not only mean wise, it means the successful. People who have used their wisdom to achieve success. And here it means success in Torah mitzvos. Yashiru, they will shine in this tekufa. Kizoyar harakia, like the shine of the firmament. Umatztike harabim, those that caused the rabbim to become righteous, the talmidei chachamim, and the gedolei Yisrael, and the leaders of Klal Yisrael, who do things to empower, to enable the rabbim to do acts of tzedek, kach lichovim, they will shine as stars le'olam bo'ed, and that's what's going to happen. The achris hayam, not even some tchias amesim. We're not up to that. That will come the end of Perek. We have more to get to. But this is a tkufa that will occur. Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel is a tkufa that will occur after the Holocaust. Let's read the Mitzvahs and Pasuk Gimel. V'hamaskilim hachachamim shebohem yaziru u'matztiki harabim hamalamdim derech Hashem, those that teach the Jewish people to follow the way of Hashem, heim yasir, they will shine kachachavim lo'ilam v'ed choyzer al hamaskilim. So basically what we've done over here today is a lot of midrashim, which we'll discuss next time about this Pasuk v'hamaskilim. But basically what we've done today is we've continued the timeline of history. We've started with Pasuk Mem Aleph, which we have explained as a continuation of the Crusades, where the Christians and the Muslims are going to fight over Eretz Yisrael, and they will cause great harm to the Jews living there. The first Crusade resulted they gathered when they came to Eretz Yisrael. They came to Yerushalayim. They gathered. There were about 500. Not no one really knows for sure how many Jews were living then, but approximately 500 Jews were living in Yerushalayim at that point in time. And the Christians came into Yerushalayim. They rounded them all up. They brought them into the one shul they had and burned the shul down with the Jews inside.
Is it written somewhere?
Yes, it's written in all the accounts. There are a few accounts. There's a Christian account of the Crusades, and there's a Muslim account of the Crusades. There's a very good documentary. I saw it online. Probably Discovery Channel has but I saw it. It's all for free on YouTube. I saw the whole thing. It's about 2-3 hours. They broke it up into parts. It's very, very, and it's really presented very well, and it's very, a lot of research. It's one of these cable channels, and this is probably copied illegally and was put on YouTube like everything else. it's kedai to see it, and it's kedai. There are probably 1,000 books written about the Crusades, secular books, and from Jewish. There are Jewish books, a lot of books from a Jewish perspective, but it's good to get many perspectives, obviously, and read as many books as you can to this, and then when you have that background, you can go back to the Pesukim. But what we've done over here is Pasuk Mem Aleph continues the period of the Crusades, and then we come to Pasuk Mem Dalet. It appears that we are describing something which is taking place before the Holocaust. Let's say the 18th, 19th century is where the Goyim are becoming more sophisticated and developing alliances among themselves, and things are happening in the world, and these reports are causing the Jewish people to feel a sense of terror. Yivahaluhu, Mimizrachu Mitzafon, from what's taking place in the east and the north. And then we come to Pasuk Memhei, Vayita Ohole Apadno. The Goyim are establishing, they're rewriting history, and they're telling us that the Jews never had any connection to the land, and they build there on the Har HaBayis a mosque, a church. And then comes Pasuk Aleph is the Holocaust, and then comes Pasuk Beis is the tshuva movement, the massive Balei tshuva movement of the generation, and then comes Pasuk Gimel is we're holding now. We're holding now is a tkuf in time where v'hamaskilim yashiru kizoyer rakiyah matzdike harabim kachoychavim le'olam boet. Okay, so that really concludes the dream, the vision. Yeah, yeah.
Try to make that pasuk vein.
Yeah.
Make it fit for Hakamas Hamadina.
Possibly, yeah. Absolutely. Why not?
But you can make it fit.
V'rabim b'yishene ad masafar yokitzu eila l'chaye oylam v'eila l'charafos l'diron. What?
Ad masafar is the desert that they.
Okay, absolutely. They will. Many from those that are sleeping in the ad masafar yokitzu Eretz Yisrael, the establishment, the rebirth of Eretz Yisrael. Absolutely, no question about it. Absolutely. It's history. It's clear. You're dealing with the tkufa, the depth. Is to be interpreted, to be understood, but absolutely. So that concludes the vision. I mean, it's a pretty long vision. And now the Malach just ties up some loose points, which we'll pick up next week with Pasuk Dalid.